I will rise. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We enter your word now. And like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not enter this word. Therefore, we ask that this same presence go with us as we enter the word. Oh, Father, anoint me afresh so that I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who will hear, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as I speak that the power of the Holy Spirit be released in sufficient measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, deliver, break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, so that I will deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual life, agreed individually and said, today I have a very important message. It's actually a message I've been incubating for a while. I think I even mentioned it while I was teaching or preaching a few weeks ago. And it is such an important message because we are in the end time. And I've entitled it Finishing Well. I actually preached this many years ago and it was highlighted in one of our Good Morning Jesus Daily Rhema lessons in recent times. But it bears great prophetic importance right now because it's the will of God. Let me correct that and say it more precisely. It is the perfect will of God for us to finish this Christian life well. In examinations, we'll say flying colors with a distinction. And this truth is obscure in the hearts and the lives of many Christians because so many people have been erroneously taught, and I'm going to demolish that stronghold as we, with the Word of God now, that how long you live and what you accomplish has already been preordained by God. So there's really nothing you can do. You just do your best and, you know, and among the Yoruba people say, Akole Oluwani, that is, God has already written it like that. But it is not true. It is a lie. And it's very important that your thinking changes, as I will explain as I go along, because of the times in which we're living, which are perilous times. What does it mean to finish well? I'd like you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. It is, let me read first and then I'll make a few comments by the Holy Spirit. This is a man like you and I. He's not an angel. He finished well and he knew he had finished. And then he wrote it down.
and God stamped it as scripture, as a pattern and an inspiration for generations to come. And this is what he said, "For I am now ready to be offered." I have to teach and preach as the Holy Spirit has given it to me. It means there was a time he was not ready. Look at the language. "For I am now ready." So, a year before, 3 years before, he wasn't ready. In fact, you can fathom that from other scriptures. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, he says, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." That he didn't say what he said here. He said, "I don't know what I want to choose." That's what he said in Philippians. "I don't know what I want to choose." He said, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He said, "But it is needful for me to stay in the flesh because of you people." So when Philippians was written, he wasn't ready. But by the time he was writing this letter to Timothy, he said, "I am now ready." Don't go until you're ready. I am now ready to be offered. And really, Paul laid down his life as an offering and allowed himself to be killed to be a source of inspiration and encouragement to the Christians of the first century. You must understand historically that at this time, the church was undergoing severe persecution. Paul was in jail. Peter was probably on the run. There was a crazy emperor called Nero who was in power, and he was demon possessed, you know, and he started killing the Christians. The other emperors persecuted the church, but not like Nero. He actually allowed Rome to burn, and then he blamed it on the Christians. He was the one who did it. Then he said, "Let's blame it on the Christians." So he said they should start picking them up, start throwing them to lions. Even many top Roman generals who had been converted to Christianity, there were many top nobles, senators, and generals in the Roman army, men of great substance, wealth, and repute. Nero seized their properties just because they were Christians and would not, you know, abdicate their faith, and seized their properties, threw them to lions and killed them. It was in this atmosphere that Paul, he was arrested and sent to Rome. You know, he appeared before Nero, defended his faith. They didn't kill him at first. They were just thinking what they were going to do. And nobody could kill Paul until he was ready. And the time came when he felt he was ready. Because in that jail, that was where he wrote majority of his epistles, particularly this one that we're reading, and sent it to all these churches. And he felt that he had finished, he had given to the church the completeness of the message that God had given to him for his generation and his time. And so he pens these wonderful words. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I didn't hear you folks. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith." I wanted to say something to the Holy Spirit now. You know, God has a sense of humor. I was going to say, you should say, "The time of my departure is at hand." The Holy Spirit said, "Don't tell them to say it. You know them." They'll say, "God forbid. The time of my departure is not at hand." Oh. The Holy Spirit had a sense of humor. He said, "Just leave that one. Don't mind them. I have the time of your own departure is not at hand, but the time of Paul's departure was at hand. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only." He wasn't being exclusive,
but unto all them that also love is appearing. The point I want to make here is that Paul understood by revelation that he had finished. He said, I have finished my course. The Christian race life is actually like a race, but it's not a 100-meter dash. It's a lifelong obstacle miracle marathon. It starts with the new birth, and it ends, or it ought to end, with growing into the perfection and the fullness of Christ, with long life and good health. And we're going to look at some examples in Scripture that exemplify this wonderful truth. And one of the reasons why the Lord has asked me to share this is to change our thinking. Because you see, folks, you have to understand something. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is not what you say alone. It is what you truly believe deep in that's going to happen to you. Like we were saying to Sister Lara Williams today, you know, and Mommy prayed and prophesied a change of season over her. And that 50 is a jubilee year, a year of release. It's very important to understand the times and the seasons of God's purposes in our lives. Papa Ralph said this many years ago. I've never forgotten it. Stay with me. God deals with empires in centuries, but God deals with men in decades. Every decade of your life is a season. When I was 60 a few weeks ago, God gave a prophetic word confirmed by my wife and Pastor Fred Adegoke. And then God had spoken to me personally before they spoke. So what they said was just a confirmation, a clarification, and an amplification, which is really what the prophet's ministry does. You know, that I was entering a season of rest. I'm entering my sixth decade. And God made man in 6 days. Then the seventh day he rested. So between this 60 and 70, I'm entering into my rest. Not only that, 6 is 2 times 3. That is witness of perfection. And so as I come into this, I'm moving on. I understand that by the grace and the mercy of God. And by the grace and the mercy of God, I fully intend to fulfill it. But it's important you believe. Christians die because of a lack of knowledge. Wrong thinking, wrong believing. And we're going to look at some examples. And I have to hurry. It's a very important message. It's a destiny forming, fulfilling message. And it's critical for now because we're living in perilous times. The rate at which bad things are happening on the earth has risen astronomically. It's always been bad, but it's gotten worse because iniquity is abounding. That's why Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. There's always been perils on the earth. But why would the Holy Spirit say in the last days? It means that there will be more perils in the last day than in the former days. And we can see it all around us. And therefore, it is essential for Christians to have the right mindset and then live their lives in such a way as to fulfill their prophetic destiny and finish well. Many Christians finish, but they don't finish well. Some finish okay, but they could have finished better. And I'm going to give you an example from Scripture. Firstly, I want to look at two people who exemplify
this truth about finishing well. Of course, Paul is one, and for Peter is another. But I want to highlight, as I was praying this morning, the Holy Spirit gave me these two men, Joseph. Joseph came to know the Lord when he was a teenager. He was just a young boy. 17 years old. His dad gave him a coat of many colors. He was a good boy. And he had a dream. In his dream, he saw his brothers and his father symbolically, you know, as the sun and the moon and the stars and stalks of wheat bow to him. He foolishly, I don't know if it was foolishly or told his brothers about the dream. And because he was his dad's favorite and his brothers, you know, understood the dream that you're going to be superior to all of us and even our parents will bow to you. Even his dad rebuked him. He went to Jacob and said, Jacob said, come on, shut up. You mean me and your mother and your brother are going to come and bow before you? You know, well. And we know the story of Joseph because of time. You know, his brothers wanted to kill him. They sold him as a slave into Egypt, went to Potiphar's house. Through a series of miracles over many years, God formed his character, and then he wound up, number two man in Egypt. And God used him tremendously to save, watch this, his generation. What Joseph did didn't only save Israel, it saved an entire generation of men on earth. He fulfilled the purpose, all that dream, everything came to pass the way he said, the way he saw it in the dream. And even when all of that was over and his dad now died, he went, buried his dad, said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take them to Israel. He went to bury his father where they had buried Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. You know, he buried Jacob there. He came back to Egypt, you know. And his brothers thought he was going to take revenge. He didn't take revenge. He walked in love towards them. And all that generation died. You know. And when Joseph lived to 110, he finished perfectly. The purpose of Joseph's life was to save his generation. And I'm going to apply it to us in a minute. To save his generation and to form the nation of Israel. They went into Egypt as a family and came out as a nation because of Joseph. Very important. You know, I shared this with us not too long ago. I said that, you know, I used a mathematical, example and illustration. See, there's a general solution. Then there is a particular solution. See, there's a general solution for all of our lives. Go conform to the image of Jesus. Grow spiritually to the perfection of fullness of Christ, particularly in this end time, and manifest the glory of God. But in that general solution, each of us has our own specific, particular solution. There's something God has earmarked for you, for your family, your profession, your environment. I don't know. But you will know as you grow spiritually. And that's what we're praying for Stellara today. God will reveal. God needs to show you what he calls you to do on the earth. But watch this, darling. You cannot do it if you do not grow spiritually. There are some things that cannot be done with this earnest of the Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost though. But what we have is the Spirit with measure. This Spirit with measure cannot achieve certain levels of destiny. That is why your priority must be to grow into the perfection, the fullness of Christ, inherit the Spirit without measure. It's with that Spirit without measure that two things. You will see clearly what your own specific particular solution is. And then fulfill it. Many, many Christians live and die and do not know what I'm talking about. Because they have been erroneously taught that
Your purpose is heaven. So long as you go to heaven, let me tell you the basic mindset. It is not a wrong mindset. It's just a very incomplete one. Which also can be a problem, because Bible says, my people perish for a lack. So that knowledge you don't have can cause premature destruction. And it is this. Get born again. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let God bless you. Get a wife. Have children. Be blessed materially and financially. Build a house. Get promotion at work. And you're done. You die. Everybody come to your funeral. Say nice things about you. And say the man has finished his work. Not so. It's not a bad, watch this. If you finish that way, you've not finished badly, but you have not finished well. It's not complete. As I was praying this morning, God spoke to me about David. God loves David. Oh, Kai. God, David, Kai. It pained God. He told me, he said, David finished well, but he could have finished better. I almost wept. Today, in my house. He said, son, he said, David finished well, but he could have finished much better. He said, don't make his mistake. I said, go and tell my people. David's good. He said, you want an icon? Look at Joseph. Now, David is a good example. There are many good things you can learn from David. But don't do some of the things David did. The adultery, the murder. It cut David's life short. David only lived to 70. He should have lived to at least 110, 120. He would have built the temple. Then there would have been no problem with Solomon. By the time Solomon would be king, Solomon would have been in his 50s. And his head would have been correct. Not this one of seeing every girl on the road, including the daughter of Pharaoh and the daughters of the East country, and begin to misbehave all over the whole place. He finished, but he could have finished better. God wants you to finish well. We have the opportunity David didn't have. You know why? We have the complete canon of Scripture. We're living in the end time where the Bible says the path of righteousness shines better and brighter. What we know today, generation of saints did not know. So there's no reason why you and I today should not finish, let me use the word, perfectly. And that should be your life ambition. See, when you begin to... When you begin to see revelation, this truth, and you begin to have a picture in your mind of what God wants you to accomplish, you will not rest. Revelation will lead to motivation. It will be the thing that is driving you to the glory of God. I use myself as an example, but I'm not the only one. But, you know, what is pushing me? It's not money that's pushing me. It cannot be. It's not marriage that is pushing me. It's not children that is pushing me. It's not building house that is pushing me. What's pushing me? I know that for the things God wants me to do, I haven't done them yet. Success is very relative. You must define success by divine standards, not human. If you define success by human standards, you will fall way below the mark. That is why the scripture must be our standard.
not the experience of contemporary men. I speak by the Spirit. The Scripture, another wonderful example, is John. John the Beloved. He outlived all the other apostles. That's, you know, the Bible says the hidden things belong to God. Secret things and those that are revealed belong to us and to our children. I don't think we know everything yet. We certainly don't. There's many things. I think it's when we get to heaven that so many things will be. Because we're all, you know, I don't know how many of you know this, but you know that we are going to be judged. Not the great white throne judgment of going to heaven or hell. You're going to be judged. There's what's called the Bema seat of Christ. Ah, that will be an. I will not miss one tribunal. I'm going to sit down and hear what happened in the lives of the different saints. Everything is going to come out. Kunle. He said all the hidden things. Not necessarily bad, but things that God just didn't show when we were around will all be showcased. Then the rewards will be handed out. If you know that, you will live your life differently. The rewards will be handed out. And God will say, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. You know, like Peter, James, and John, who went to say, let's sit on your right hand or your left hand. Jesus laughed. It's not like that. Do you hear what he said? He said, it is not my own to decide who will sit on the right or on the left. So only the Father can decide. There are guys in heaven, folks. Where are you going to put Enoch? Or Joseph? Or Moses? Or Daniel? There are guys who... Or Caleb? Take it slow. Take it easy. You do your best in your generation. You see, what I'm doing by the Spirit of God is that I'm making you heavenly minded. See, we're so earthly minded. Finishing well. Now, thank you. It's only God who knows who is going to sit where. My own, I'm not so bothered about all of that. I'm bothered about doing the best I can here. Then when I get there, God will decide that. Amen. But you know one thing I'm sure of? You understand? Nobody's success can take away from my own. I remember when we were in secondary school, you know, we used to compete first and second. You know, I have a wonderful class, you know, my CMS, my classmates. Some of us, when we got to form 4, form 5, we started cooperating amongst ourselves. It was a wonderful, it was God who gave us that wisdom. Looking back now, of course, I didn't know God like I know him now. There was all this. That is very childish. Who is first? Who is second? We said it amongst ourselves. We said, let's start helping each other. I said, look, have you studied that one? You know, if you have a problem, you have studied, somebody will come to class. He will come and work it. He said, this is how I did it. He said, after all, if you get aggregate 6 and I get aggregate 6, your grade 1 cannot take away from my grade 1. So let's all cooperate together so all of us will get distinction. And you know, that was what happened. To a great extent, because we had 5A, 5B, 5C, 5D. We had 4 arms. You know, in my own particular arm, you know, practically, if my memory serves me right, practically all of us had a grade 1. Not only that, majority of us went into university straight from Form 5. We used to call it prelim in those days. Now, our results were so good. Most of us, we just went like that. And many of us today have done very well in life in different areas. You know, there's something about understanding that you are not competing with anybody. And that what you need to do is to cooperate. You see, if I have long life, it's not going to take away from Prof's long life. In fact, the longer I live and the longer I live, the better of help we will be to each other. So it is in my interest to see that he lives long. Talk about change of mentality. These are the hidden things
that are disturbing people. That was what was disturbing James and John and Peter. Who will be first? Who will be second? Let me sit on your right hand, on your left. The Bible says the others were filled with indignation. Naturally, because they were trying to compete. Jesus said, chill, it's not like that. It might not be any of you. He said, it's not for me to give. You think I'm not going to choose among you apostles? Who's going? There are many before you. And there will be many after you. So it is the Father who would decide that one. You be the best you can. Am I helping anybody here? Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs. I've mentioned that scripture. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. This message is so important because our mentality concerning this truth must change. And I want to give you two or three scriptures that would destroy. The Bible says pulling down strongholds. It is a stronghold that it is God who decides when you will live and when you will die. It's not true. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Well, it doesn't say man. It says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you believe deep down in your heart is going to affect your destiny. It doesn't matter what you say with your mouth. He says, their mouth, they speak, you know, they draw to me with their mouth. They draw near to me, but their heart is far from me. Your heart and your mouth must be saying the same thing. I'm going to say something I've said over the years. I'm going to repeat it in this particular context. You know, about faith, presumptuousness, and unbelief. Say, to say you will die is unbelief. The Bible says you will not die, you will live. To say you cannot die is presumptuousness. Jesus died. But to say by the grace and the mercy of God, I will live, I will not die. I will live long, I will survive, is faith. Faith is in the middle of the road. On this side of the road is presumptuousness. On this other side of the road is unbelief. What I am teaching you by the grace and the mercy of God is to walk in that middle of the road. Don't go to either side. When people go to either side, they get plucked off. For as he thinketh in his heart, if this message fulfills its purpose, today I want to change what you think in your heart about your life and your destiny. Otherwise, the message will not have fulfilled its purpose. Start thinking like God thinks. Now, let me give you scripture. I'll just give you two. There's many, many scriptures, but I'll give you two. You know, in the book of Proverbs, look at Proverbs, or three, chapter 3, verse 16. I remember as a young Christian, when I stumbled on the scripture, I said, but that's not what they told us. This is talking about the wisdom of God. He says, length of days is where? In other words, the wisdom of God will add length to my days. So it cannot be fixed. So what they told me is a lie. Hello? Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse 11. For by me, me who? Me wisdom. Me wisdom. So many Christians are dying prematurely because of a lack of wisdom. Some things are just simple things. Things that they don't even require revelation knowledge. Simple things. You know, exercise, rest, diet, hygiene. Simple things. Yeah, God faith. You know, God will do it. Yeah, God will do it, but there's corresponding action. And he's going to work through what you're doing. For by me, I didn't hear you, thy days shall be what? And the years of thy life shall be what? Don't your neighbor say, you're just looking at somebody who's going to increase the years of his life by the wisdom of God. So I'm changing your thinking. So maybe they've told you you're going to die. I don't know who the day is. It could be your doctor. It could be whatever. You know. But you can go and tell them what the Bible says. I'm going to increase my days. I will live. I will not die. I've got too many things to do to die too quickly. My life is just starting.
I'm 60 years old, but I've pressed a reset button. I'm starting another chapter. A decade of rest that's going to take me into another place. I'm not satisfied. I thank God for what God has done for me. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not ungrateful. I thank God for His blessings and so on. So a lot of people will think, oh, what else do you want in life? It's because you don't know God. Life, man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he has. Thank God for what he has. But that's not the essence. Until I see the glory, I will not be satisfied. And after this, I see the glory, I will not be satisfied. Because the glory is for a purpose. The glory is not just for the glory. The glory is for a purpose. I'm going to give you a scripture before I close. It's a scripture God spoke to me personally. It's for Olubi Pastor. But I'm sure there are a lot of people it will also apply to. It's not just for me alone. There are so many of us it will apply to. Hallelujah. I know a lot of you are going to Kenyeleni. Praise the Lord. Mako Jami Olubala. Proverbs chapter 10. Oh, Jesus help me. Am I helping anybody here? And look at, I believe it's verse 27. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Look at this. The fear of the Lord does what? But the years of the wicked shall be. Ask a question. Who shortened his life? Not God, the wicked. The wicked is the person who casts instruction behind his back. His disregard for instruction caused his life to become shortened. Your life will not be shortened in Jesus' name. We cannot end without amen. We have to say the second part. And therefore, you will obey instruction. Amen. Many of our people, we like to say amen to the blessing, but we do not say amen to the condition. To get the thing, you have to say amen both to the condition and to the blessing. Amen and amen. Thank you, Gloria. You know that's what Paul said. He said all the promises of God in him are yea and amen, amen and amen. Thank you. Along I shall know how. Now, how do we finish well? And then we're going to look at two or three examples. We're going to look at Caleb. We're going to look at Joab. Joab didn't finish well. Don't let me get ahead of myself. Then we're also going to look at a very funny guy. His name is Manasseh. Manasseh didn't finish perfectly well. But he finished well compared to how he started. And then I'm going to end again with David. Learn something from David's life that we'll take. Now, how? The Bible is so clear. It's amazing, you know, it amazes me how people just read the Bible and just skim over the surface and not dig deep into what the Bible is actually saying. It's already told us what to do. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, it's verse 12. He said, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Translation, go and look at Joseph, follow his example. And you will get the same thing Joseph got. Look at John, follow his example, and you will get the same thing John has got. Look at Caleb, follow his example, and you will get what Caleb got. Look at Moses, follow his example, and you will get what Moses got. And so on like that. So God has made it clear and easy for us. You want to have long life, you want to finish well, go and look at the guys who live long and follow their example. Who through faith, the Greek word is the word mimetis. from where we get the English word mimic or imitate. Some of the translations say imitate, be imitators. In other words, look at the lives of these people and imitate them. Imitate two things. One, their faith, and number two, their patience. One of the best examples of this is Joseph. Joseph refused. He refused to get bitter against God. When things, instead of seeming to get better, got worse. From Potiphar's house to the jail, because he did righteousness. You know, most people would have been angry with God. Like today, all this your righteousness, all this your growing, what has he got you? Because you will not tell lies, you won't do this, you won't see, you don't even have any money. See all your classmates, see all the people, see, they've all passed you. Is this one you're going to sit with? Sound familiar? I'm echoing Job's wife. And you still hold on to your integrity. All your integrity, all our children are dead. She didn't say this, I'm paraphrasing. You have to understand where that woman was coming from. I don't agree with her at all. But you have to understand where she's coming from, because she herself didn't know God. I didn't know God properly. But this was a superficial argument. Our children are dead. All our businesses are gone. We don't have anything. We've lost everything. And you are still saying, God, God, your integrity. Curse God and die. After all, you're just as good as dead anyway. Because Job had sores from the top of his head. May we not see what Job saw. It's okay to read it in a book. But thinking deeply about it, how many withstand and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? As integrity of the highest order. God came through for Job, didn't he? Faith and patience. It went through a rough time, but it came out. He says, and God turned Job's captivity, and then he gave him twice what he had before. Then he gave him 10 more children, and his daughters were the most beautiful in the land. Then he lived up to 140. Then he saw his children, and his children's children to the fourth generation. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's the faith and patience you have to follow. So when you go through rough times, you don't ditch your faith. I just got a tweet. You will only ditch your faith if your faith has the wrong focus. You see, if what I am following God for was wife, children, house, and wealth, then if they're all gone, there's nothing else. But if what I'm following God for isn't just that, that is there. But if what I'm following God is more than that, then no matter what happens, that's why the Bible says, and they love not their lives. In other words, it doesn't matter what happens. My faith in God remains solid. Because when I finish at the end of the day, he said, in my flesh shall I see him. I know my Redeemer lives. You don't hear these kind of messages again. And that's why we have this army of Christians who are just wishy-washy. And all they just think about is this, you know, material things. To finish well, your faith has to be focused rightly. Of course, I don't believe what happened to Job will happen to you. It will not happen to you in Jesus' name. But you must be ready to stay with God even through bad times. And when they do come, you do what the Bible says. It says, is any afflicted? Say, let him pray. As you pray, God will walk in the circumstance and turn the affliction for your good. Amen? Amen? I said the other day, you cannot say the enemy will not come in. Bible says the enemy will come in. He said, but like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. And you've got to have that faith. So through faith and patience, we follow the examples of those who have inherited. Now, let's look at a few examples. I'm just going to run through them and I'm going to close. Number one, I want to look at Caleb. Caleb is such a good example. Look at Joshua chapter 14. And I believe it's verses 4 through 6. Verses 6 down to 14. I won't read everything because of time. They had entered the promised land, you know. And Joshua was now the leader. Caleb was his colleague and companion. These other guys had delayed them for 40 years. All that generation, most of them were already dead. Caleb is 85 years old. So he comes to... He comes to Joshua and said, you know what the Lord said about me and you and Moses and all that? Go to the next verse, verse 7. Good. Verse 8. I won't read everything because of time. Verse 9. Be following in your heart. Verse 10. Now, look at what he said. He said, and behold, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Who will keep you alive? Ever say the Lord. As he has said, these 40 and 5 years, don't you never say, that's not 2 weeks, you know. We're talking about following faith and patience. Even since the Lord spake this word, I didn't hear you, unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Verse 11. I like this guy. Yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and their cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Verse 13. Glory. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Give Caleb a clap offering. He's in heaven. He's not dead. He's conscious. He's checking our service out. I'm serious. Hallelujah. We're compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, scripture says. Sir, this was a man. 40 years is enough to discourage anybody. It's enough to say, he didn't. I'm going to repeat what I said at the beginning. What God had said to him when they left Egypt, and the promise was still burning as brightly in his heart 40 years later as it was when he first got it. It was that passion that kept pushing him. He said, as the servant of the Lord said, Moses, that he's going to get, he said, now I've come to you, I'm going to get the mountain. I've had it in my heart these 45 years. All these things God has been speaking to us, the manifestation of sons of God, keep it in your heart. Don't allow problems, delays, difficulties, and all that to remove it. And when the time comes, you will say, give me this mountain. Mount Zion, glory to God. Hallelujah. And you will possess it in Jesus' name. The second example I want to mention, I'm just going to hit it running, you know, is Joab. Joab didn't do well. This Joab was David's commander in chief of his army. Not only that, if you read it, that's why the genealogies are not a waste of time.
if you read them, you will find that he and Joseph were cousins. Their mommy was David's sister. Joab, he had three other brothers. Asahel and Abishai. You know, great guys, who, great warriors, wonderful boys. But they had a fault. They were gragrapo. I said it in Yoruba. They were too impulsive. In fact, David had to say, "You sons of Zeruiah, you are too hard for me." Why are these things written? They are written for admonition. Joab was a great warrior. Who captured Jerusalem? Joab. Nobody had been able to capture Jerusalem. They had been in the land for hundreds of years after Joshua came in. Because it was on a hill and the Jebusites were there, nobody could capture Jerusalem. David said, whoever can go and capture, I will make him the head of the army. The Bible says, and Joab went and they captured it. Joab defeated Edom and brought the king's gold crown and put it on David's head. Joab was a great man. But alas, alas, what was Joab's problem? A lack of loyalty. Go and write it down for destiny. You not only must be faithful to God, you must be faithful to the men that God put around you. Joab, it is required inside that the man be faithful. That was Joab's problem. He was ambitious and he was disrespectful. When David was weak, he insulted him. You never insult your head, even when they are weak. And David was wrong. David cried because of Absalom. Absalom is his son. Now, David was wrong to have cried because Absalom was a bad boy. He killed so many people who died that day and all that. You know, Joab went to him and insulted David to his face. He said, "You are crying because of Absalom." He said, "Then you want all of us to die?" He said, "If you don't wipe that tear from your face, tonight, the one that Absalom did will be small compared to what we will do to you." Olupi translation. That's what he said. Go and check the scripture. I just said it in a modern way. That's exactly what he said. He said, "What Absalom did will be like child's play compared to what I will do to you." How can you talk to your boss like that? What should he have said? To answer that question, I'm going to ask another rhetorical question. When that thing happened about Absalom and David was crying and all that, what did Nathan say? It's not recorded. Silent. Everybody knew the king was weak and he had a weakness for his children. What you got? You go and meet him. You entreat him. So we understand, but you know so many other people died. You know, but God will help us. God, that's how to talk to your boss. Not I will show you. I will show you. David quickly wiped all because he knows Joab. Because he knows he will do it. And that time, you know, the kingdom was already fractured. This was a very delicate time for David. So David just... But God, he don't forget. Fast forward, maybe some 20 years, some years later. David is old now. This is about 70. This probably happened when Jesus was in his 60s, or around 60 or something. You know, so they, what's the name of that silly boy? Adonijah gets up and, "Hey, I'm going to be king." You know, and, you know, David is still alive. So, you know, Nathan goes to Bathsheba. They went to the king. The king said, "No, Solomon is going to be king." Puts him on his donkey and they come. The people that joined Adonijah, Joab was among. That thing was still there. I just got a tweet from heaven. Adonijah was a fool. If they had killed David and made him king, they would have killed Adonijah and then they would become king. rebels are never satisfied. No matter what you give them, until they get to the throne, they will not be satisfied.
I don't judge a small boy. If they had made him king, the same people will kill him.
Go and check the scriptures.
Go and look, especially Israel. One guy will overthrow another guy. He will become king. Then it's one of his captains that will kill him and he will become king.
A fool. I say it respectfully. But he wasn't wise. Never. So, that went. Then he went to the altar to go and grab the horns of the altar.
Solomon, that day, nothing happened. You know, they all ran away and, you know, Solomon became king.
David dies. Solomon is now king. Adonijah goes to Solomon and says, okay, you know I'm your senior brother. I should have been king. But the Lord has said, he didn't mean it to. Just talk. The heart wasn't there. But it's yours from the Lord. He said, I'm asking you a very small thing. Give me Abishag. Abishag was the little girl that was looking after David before David died. And instead of coming direct, he went through Bathsheba. And Bathsheba didn't want problem for her son. The kingdom is fight every day. Bathsheba went to David and said, look, Solomon, see, I'm going to ask you this thing. Don't say no to me. Give you what? I mean, you have so many wives you can have. Let him have her. Solomon, his head is correct. God has given him wisdom. Immediately he saw through it. He said, why are you asking for Abishag? He said, you might as well ask him for the throne. Is he not my senior brother? He said, God do so and more to me. If this guy's head will not go, that day, not only was Adonijah executed, Joab was executed. But I'm not done yet. This is a very big lesson. Because Joab was somebody who was so close to David. They fought battles together. Yet he didn't finish well. When they were going to write the list of the mighty men of David, Joab's name is not there. Can you believe that? And he was the mightiest of all of them. He was the captain of the host. His name is not in the mighty men of David. It wasn't David. The Holy Ghost removed it. He took his part out of the things written in the book because of his arrogance and his rebellion. You want to finish well, be loyal to God and to the people God has put around you. Because what you do to them, God will take it personal. That's why this story is written. Don't be like Joab. Joab didn't fail because of prowess. He was strong, he was a mighty warrior, and all of that. That was great. Do you understand? But that's not enough. You have to have the right heart. I'm telling you, what cuts people short, I gotta close. I don't know if I've helped you this afternoon. Oh! I gotta close. Manasseh's case is very... So I'm not going to read because of time. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. Manasseh was his son. He had him in the last 15 years of his life. He became king when he was only 12 years old. He hadn't got a clue. But he was also a bad boy. Every horrible thing that can be done, Manasseh did it. He even killed his own children and sacrificed them in the fire to Moloch. He brought the abominations into the temple. Filled Jerusalem with blood. Bad boy! Bad! But you know, there's something about having a godly heritage that has mercy. People who didn't do half of what Manasseh did were killed.
But somehow Manasseh survived.
I believe it was Hezekiah's intercession in heaven. You know what happened? God arranges for him. They come, some guys come from outside, they defeat him, they drag him, take him into captivity, put him inside the jail, give him the bread of affliction. The Bible says, while he was there, he said, he came to himself. Second Chronicles. No, don't look at Second Kings. Look at Second Chronicles. I'm not reading the whole thing, just that scripture. Second Chronicles, let me find it. Where in the world are you? Second Chronicles chapter 33, and I believe it's verse 11, somewhere in there. Second Chronicles. Go down to where it says, and when he was in jail. Second Chronicles. Ah, good. And when he was in where? Affliction. He what? Besought the Lord his God. And what? He humbled himself greatly. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a good God. God is a covenant-keeping God. God is a God who doesn't forget. He wasn't just looking at Manasseh. He was looking at Hezekiah. He wasn't just looking at Hezekiah. He was looking at David. That's the God we serve. Next verse. And prayed unto him. Manasseh prayed. Manasseh omokotunje prayer. A prayer of affliction is good, mommy. Thank God for good morning, Jesus. Many people still pray. Not even they are praying now. There is something about affliction that makes you serious. And heard his, was in fear of him and heard his supplication. And brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. He not only did, you know, if he had saved his life, that's good. God brought him back and put him back on the throne. Give the Lord a clap offering. This is an example of scripture where it says his mercy endureth forever. But he wasn't Manasseh, it was with the mercies of his fathers. He was being blessed because of his fathers. For his father's sake. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. To cut a long story short, you know what? I was praying this morning. The Holy Spirit said this to me. Honey, hear what I'm about to say. It will hit you to your root and all of us. So that we can be serious. Manasseh finished better than Solomon. I said, God, I fear you, sir. The Holy Spirit was saying, I've been reading it for years. He said, Manasseh finished better than Solomon. Solomon started well, finished very badly. Manasseh started terribly and finished well. Not perfectly, but well. It's not how well you start. Better is the end of a matter than the beginning. It's how will you finish. I got to close. What is God saying to us? God wants each and every one of us to finish perfectly. Psalm 91 verse 16. Say, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is finishing perfectly. I got a word, and it is this. Do not let any human experience, either yours or others, come above the authority of God's word. That is how, according to the scripture, that is how to finish perfectly. Long life. Not only long life, good health. Not only good health, see his salvation. See, it's complete salvation, spirit, soul, and body. It's not just be born again. It's not just, oh, he went to heaven. It's not that he lived long. You know, he died at 100 or he died at... That's all good. But to finish perfectly, those three things, long life and show him
my salvation. Don't be satisfied with anything less. I got news for you. Don't believe anything less. You know why? Two people are looking at your heart. God and the devil. Doesn't matter what you say. Satan knows what you believe. And God knows what you believe. So even when God wants to help, Satan says he doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. And you know you have to keep your word. You can only help people who believe. As a man thinketh in his heart, so this is what he's thinking. So I have to oblige him. And God's will have. That's the purpose of this message. Change what you believe. You will live long. You will live, you will not die. You will live, you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Don't believe for anything less. Have the fear of God. Honesty, humility of heart. Obey instruction. Both spiritual and natural instruction. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it with the mercy and the grace of God. God will preserve you. Caleb said, and the Lord had kept me alive. He will keep you alive. I said, God will keep you alive. 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 I covered the whole hall. I said, God will keep you alive. I got to close. A thought just came to me. I didn't plan to say this, but it came. I'm going to close with it. Kenneth Hagin is 42 years old. In 1959, he was born in 1917. So then that was the year I was born. And Jesus appears to him in a hospital bed. Kenneth Hagin had a car accident and his hand was fractured. It was in Plaster of Paris. Jesus appears to him in the hospital. He thought he was a nurse. It was in the evening. Jesus just walked through the door. He had discerning of spirits. And Jesus pulled the hospital chair that was next to the bed, sat down on it. And he said to him, I've appeared to you because what has happened to you is not my perfect will. That you had this accident. He said, but I've allowed it to happen to you to call your attention. Go and read in Ken Hagin's book, I Believe in Visions. And it's totally scriptural. That's why I believe it. Not because Ken Hagin just said it, but because it follows the scripture. And I'm going to close with it. And he said to him, this thing that has happened, I allowed it to catch your attention. Because you have been out of my perfect will. Ken Hagin is looking. Me. Man of God, man of faith, prayer warrior. And he was praying in tongues 1 hour every day, praying spirit of wisdom and revelation. Emike. Sometimes we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I thank God Kenneth Hagin wrote this in the book. He said, because you put your prophet's ministry, your teaching ministry above your prophet's ministry. And most people like teaching. They want to hear healing. They want to hear prosperity. They want to hear that. They don't want to hear prophetic. He said, if I watch this, if I did not arrest your attention with this accident, you would have continued like that and you would have died at the age of 55. That was 13 years down the road. You would have died at the age of 55. But that's not the worst of it, honey. He now said to him, and you would never have even entered the first phase of your ministry. I said that in Yoruba. Ken Hagin almost entered. Me, Ken Hagin. He said, yeah. Then he said this to him. It was a lesson. I read it when I was a 20-year-old boy. It's one of the things that has helped me and is still helping me now. He said that many of my men live and die and never enter the first phase of their ministry.
He said, I called your attention. Otherwise, you wouldn't have lived long. You know, we would never have heard of Kenneth Hagin. If we heard, we would have just said that, oh, there was one nice preacher in America, you know, and he was a lover long gone. And at the age of 55, he got sick. You know, anyway, thank God. But Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, so Kenneth Hagin could tell us and the generation to come. He said, they had never, it was nice. He now said to him, he said, now! You know, Jesus can be funny, you know. He can be strict, you know, very loving and everything. Then now! His eyes like flame of fire. Then now! Put your prophetic above the teaching. Kenneth Hagin didn't smoke cigarettes. He wasn't womanizing. He wasn't eating government. He only put things wrong order. He only was not obeying instruction. It was going to cost him his life. You will live long. That's why you have, by the grace and the mercy of God, a pastor like me who is teaching you these secrets. Get back into your closet and say, Lord, open my eyes. What am I doing? And watch this. What am I not doing? Because sometimes the problem is not commission, it's omission. Kenneth Hagin corrected that. Then you know what? Kenneth Hagin, Jesus said to him, I got to add, it's very for us faith guys. You know, God doesn't say we shouldn't go to the doctor. God told him, he said, yeah, here, he said, the doctors, you know, they will look after you. He said, I'm not against my children going to the hospital. Jesus said that. I believe it. And he said, and I will speed up the healing process. He said, they say it's going to take 2 weeks, but you know, or a month, but in 2 weeks or 10 days, you're going to be much better and they'll discharge you. And exactly. He said, but I will not totally heal that arm. He said, I will leave a small something. So occasionally it will pain you. It won't stop you from doing other things you're doing, just to remind you never to disobey me. Let us pray. Let us pray. You will live long. You will finish well. Amen. Obey God. Keep the word. Word, the spirit. And little things that you think don't matter, they may really matter. Honesty, humility, loyalty, simple obedience to simple instructions, simple things. I've been tempted. I'm 60 years old now, to the glory of God. Satan has tried to kill me not once, not twice, not three times. I was in England as a young boy, 20, 21 years old. Got the call of God to come back to Nigeria. The devil told me, he said, you try, I will kill you. Tell you what I told me in my room, in prayer college. The fear came upon me. And you know what he said? You know the devil knows the Bible. He knows the Bible more than you and I. He said, I kill Stephen, and so I'll kill you the same way. He said, you better stay here. Better not go back to Nigeria. I'll kill you. God had to teach me this scripture, this Psalm 91. That with long life will I satisfy him. Said, are you satisfied? I said, no. He said, keep on living. I said, I will help you. But I was afraid. I mean, I wasn't afraid, but there was just this. And true to his word, I hadn't been in Nigeria 3 months. It was near Sheraton. On that road. I still remember, you know. I took Brother Emiko somewhere. I went to go and stay in Uncle Larry's daddy's house in Shagama Avenue. And I was driving. It was in the evening, about 5-6 o'clock in the evening. Suddenly, my tire went down. So I parked the car by the side of the road. It was a Beetle, Volkswagen Beetle. And I was going to change the tire. I'll put all these things else. Something just said, step aside. Twenty-one years old. I just stepped aside. A car from nowhere just came and it would have smashed me with the sun. The first thing that came to my mind was this. I told you I will kill you. He said, let's see. Let's see.
It shook me, but I'd learned a few things, how to pray in tongues. I don't pray in the Spirit. God just helped me. My dad had to give, they had to put that car in the garage. Then they had to give me another car temporarily. Anyway, quite a long story short. And down through the years, there's been one or the other. But God's mercy and His grace has kept us. Now, there's a reason why I said all that. If God did it for Olubi, He would do it for you. I said He would do it for you. I said He would do it for you. I said He would do it for you. He would do it for you. He would do it for you. Keep that right heart. Mommy.
There are two scriptures that I want to leave with us. When temptation comes our way, like it will surely come. It will come. Temptations will come. They will come. They will definitely come. They came to Jesus. The Bible says He was tested in every way, like as we were. Yet He did not sin. There are two, came to Paul, came to the best, came to Joseph, came to Danny, came to everyone. There are two scriptures that I want to leave with us. The first one is when temptation is coming. Let us first look for the scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God in this temptation? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where is it? Here. Get your compass. Locate righteousness. You will never be wrong. When what you first look at, let me tell you, they saw something happen to me recently. It shook me to my roots. But you know, He could only just do it for a few minutes. Because instantly, I got my compass. It says, where is righteousness here? Where's joy here? Where's peace here? I said, God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be all other things. So if this one was not added to me, it meant that God was doing something. Amen. It would be fulfilled. Then the second one is, get your compass, Philippians 4:8. Look for it. Give us Philippians 4:8. Finally, everybody, let's say, finally, 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 brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Do you know that one girl, let me just give you a testimony, that was how she became a student of Life Fort. She came here. She was part of that program that, what was the name of that program that Dada did? Project Unveil. And she was just one of those girls that had come for the Project Unveil, and she didn't even come to look for Life Fort or anything. She was from a Muslim background, and she came to church. And so that day when she came to church, I was so blessed that she came by herself to church. And then she followed me to pastor's office. And I said, oh, come and greet pastor. Then I asked her one question. I said, do you have money? Let me quickly look for money to give to you so that you can use it for taxi home. Ah! What I heard shook me to my roots. She said, no, ma, I don't need any money, ma. I came with my money for taxi back home. I said, what? Said, I just came to church and I just came to greet you. I said, even the best of us Christians. That is my day. This is my day. This is my day of fruitfulness. will never even say it. God has made room for me. Pastor asked, I didn't even ask for it. You know, I called Sholakbe. I said, Sholakbe, come here now. I said, that girl, fix an appointment for her to come to Lifeford. She is a candidate. Those are the kind of people God wants in that school. Do you know that something was so great? And that girl today, to the glory of God, she's enjoying the benefit of thinking and thinking of things that are true. Whatever things are honest. That was what brought her. And today, she's in UI. She's doing well. Lawyer. Everything. Law. Glory to God. What price can you pay for that? Nothing. So, imagine I've been human. I'm not even good. I've been human. Who was moved to that kind of thing? Imagine how God is moved when we think of things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just. Next time when you want to lie, when you want to take that little bribe, when you want to put that file under because nothing was given to you, when you want to treat one child better than another because the parents are favoring you, remember, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, if there any praise, think on these things. This is it. Brethren, He will deliver our souls. Remember, He delivered that child, and God gave her, changed the trajectory of her life completely, completely. Took her above her rising completely, completely, and became God's own daughter. We run around her. We do everything for her because of this. She thought of honesty and she decided it. How much was the money I would have given her to compare to have taken her over, and she became a daughter of this house. And her father also, to the glory of God, is closer to the kingdom than ever before. Many a times we come to pastor and say, pray for me. Because of that child. The Lord will have mercy on us and help us. Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom, the dominion of righteousness, the dominion of joy, dominion of peace in your soul. Let that be the goal of your faith. All the other things will be added. You will live long. God said, go and get me an army of men and women who will not love their lives unto the death. I said, and I'm going to look after them. I'm going to keep them. You will live long. And you will fulfill your destiny. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word that has come this afternoon. I want to thank you because you have revealed to us your purpose. It was not written for David alone. It was not even written by David. It was not written for the saints alone. It was written for generations to come, including our generation. You said, with long life. You said, He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. O God, open our eyes. Open our hearts. Let us see your purpose. Let us understand what you have in store for us. Then let us believe it. And then act upon it. So that we can enjoy the benefits. In these perilous times you will keep us. And you will save us. And you will deliver us. In Jesus' name. Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Or just going to pray. You know, there is a unction on me. You know. Say this after me. Say, Father, I confess our sins so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, especially the sin of unbelief concerning long life, concerning divine protection. Father, I believe your word, like Joshua of old, like Caleb of old, I believe your word. I receive this blessing, this inheritance of long life, and showing me the fullness of your salvation. Father,
I stand in agreement with you. I stand in agreement with your word that you will keep me. You will protect me. You will deliver me from evil. In these perilous times, 1,000 may fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left hand, but it will not come near me, because by your mercy and grace, I have purposed and will continue to walk in the love of God. Oh God, have mercy on me and help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to enjoy this great inheritance. Help me to know what you have called me to do and to fulfill it in its fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Shakatofre, lombrikitolo, lombrakakramatolo moshala, lombrikitofris, lombrakakramatolo motolo motofri defreshingaros, tolo motolo motofri defreshingaros, lombrakakramatolo, zafri katofre, lomba, lombrakakramatolo motofri defre, antus kofredes, lombredes, nufrines, nos, tolos, tolos, jikitofres, tolos, tufrines, tolos, tufrines, jikitofres, Tolomas, Tufrenes, Tolomas, Tufrenes, Langaras, Jeket, Tufrenes, Solohar, To Unstikis, Zefredes, Lombregatus, Tolomas, Tufrenes, Tolosh, Sheketufrenengarsk. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life for God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, tell neighbor, say, you will live long and fulfill the fullness of your destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.